Please take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. God be great in verse 1 through 12, and I reference to God, which stands up for the bread. Matthew, chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it. But don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to be seen by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the places of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and be called rabbi by people. But you are not to be called rabbi, because you have one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father, who is in heaven. You are not to be called instructors either, because you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Let us see. Jesus has come into the temple. The previous day, he had cleared out the temple, drove out those that were buying and selling animals and exchanging coins and all this in the place of the temple that was designated for the Gentiles to worship God. It was on the outskirts of the court of the Jews, and this is where anyone that was not a Jew, as far as he could go into the temple. You could go a little bit further if you're a Jewish woman in the court of the women. A little bit further if you're a Jewish man in the court of the Jews. But in the temple itself, you had to be a priest to go into that area. Well, this area that Jesus cleared out was a place dedicated to those that were seeking God, that were worshiping God, that were not of Jewish heritage. And the religious leaders had allowed it to become, and even profited from it by selling out franchises in this area, so that it was no longer a place to worship God, but a place where you heard animals, smelled animals. Can you imagine worshiping in a place that housed the cows and the sheep, making all their sounds and all their smells, and then the people bargaining over the price of it, and the sound of coins being moved around. This was not a place for worship that was conducive. It was not conducive to worship. The next day, the religious leaders came to Jesus and asked him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Now, they recognized he had the authority, but they said, "Where'd you get this authority? You didn't go to our schools. You don't have a degree. Where did you get this authority?" And Jesus asked them a question. He said, "If you answer my question, I will answer yours. John the Baptizer, what was his baptism?" And we're talking about verse 20, chapter 21, verse 25. "Did John's baptism come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they huddled together and said, you know, we can't give them the honest answer. If we say it's from heaven, then Jesus would say, "Why didn't you listen to what John the Baptizer said?" If we say it's from men, then we're afraid of what the people will do to us, because all the people view Jesus as, or John the Baptizer, as a prophet. So they said, "We don't know." And then Jesus And Nathan said, neither will I tell you. I don't know where you have these things. And then he gave three parables about how those that were in the leadership position had not done what they were supposed to. And then we came to our passage where on Wednesday, we were looking in chapter 22, beginning verse 15. Jesus has a group of religious leaders come to him. They're going to try to trap him. In verse 15, we see the Pharisees plotted with the Herodians to come trap Jesus. Now, the Pharisees were the group that believed in the scripture. They tried to teach what the Old Testament said, and they even added to it so that to make sure that you didn't break any God's commandments, they would make it even more difficult. Some of the things were you couldn't move a chair on the Sabbath day, because if you moved a chair, it might make a scratch in the your dirt floor, and that would be plowing, and you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. So you can't move a chair. You can't lift more than the weight of half a dried fig. So it's all their rules made it the most difficult day of the year, or the week rather, was a Sabbath day, which was supposed to be a day of rest. The Herodians, they were the ones that supported the Roman-appointed king and governors over Israel. Herod was not from Israel. He was not a son of Jacob. He was a descendant of Esau, and he's an Edomitean. Rome decided that Esau's descendant needed to be king over Israel, and so they appointed him king. And those of the Herodian group supported the Romans being there in Israel. The Pharisees were against it. They thought Romans shouldn't be there. Now, there was another group, the Zealots. They took up arms to try to overthrow Roman rule. But the Pharisees weren't part of the Zealots. They were part of the religious group that taught what Scripture said. But for the Pharisees and the Herodians to get together, they were two enemies. It's like the ultra extremes of both the Democratic and Republican Party coming together to do something that benefits them both. Well, the Herodians and the Pharisees came together, and they thought they had a way to trap Jesus. They're going to ask Jesus a question. And his answer is either going to be leaning toward the Pharisees, which would make all the Herodians and their followers mad, or leaning toward the Herodians, which would make all the Pharisees and their followers mad. They thought they could get Israel divided over Jesus' answer. And so they asked him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? But before this, they tied a flag. Look at what it said in verse 16 of chapter 22. Teacher, they said, we know that you are truthful and teach truthfully the way of God. You don't care what anyone thinks, nor do you show partiality. Now, remember when Jesus had asked them a question? By what authority is John the Baptizer's baptism? Is it from heaven or from men? And they huddled together because they weren't going to give a truthful answer. They were more concerned about what other people said. So they are condemning themselves when they say to Jesus, we know you don't show partiality. They were saying, oh, we do. We just see that. And Jesus knows that they are trying to trap him. You know, I remember somebody telling me that they were going by an office. office at a Baptist building in Nashville, and somebody had on the door, "Nothing ever occurred to God." And they were offended at that. So they went in and tell the person, "You know, I'm offended by your sign." He said, "Think about it. If something occurs to me, that means I haven't thought about it before. Nothing ever occurs to God, because there's nothing that he hasn't thought about before. So nothing ever occurs to God. God's not surprised by some revelation of fact, not surprised when we voice our prayer. God already knows what our prayers, what our needs are before we ask. Prayer is not to inform God, it's to remind us where the source of our prayers are answered from. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He says, "Bring me a coin that you used to pay the taxes with." And here they bring a denarius. Now, these Pharisees that don't want anything to do with Rome, they're carrying around Roman money in their pocket, or their purse, or their money bag, whatever they carry. And Jesus said, "Whose picture is on that coin?" They say, "Caesar's." "Who's the scripture? Caesar's." "Then give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that belong to God." Now, we fall in the same situation. We just passed last week, April 15th, the deadline to pay your taxes. Are we supposed to pay taxes? Yes. But we don't render our eternal dependence on our government. But we are to, we carry around government money. We buy things with government money. We pay taxes. But as Peter said to the Sanhedrin, they told him, "Don't talk about Jesus," in Acts 5:29. So Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." And the Pharisees, disciples, and the Herodians went away. So now the Sadducees are going to have their shot at Jesus. The Sadducees are a group that do not believe in the resurrection. He even tells us that here. So they're coming after Jesus, asking him a question about the resurrection. Now they don't believe there's a resurrection. So we know that they're just coming up trying to trap Jesus, because they think they can get Jesus to say something that offends people. This is, according to Scripture, it tells us that when a man is living in the same house with his brother, and his wife dies, or he dies, and his wife does not have a child to carry on the family name, the brother is to marry the wife. And so that's a requirement from Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 to 10. And it's just to carry on the family name. Well, they propose, the Sadducees propose this trick situation. A guy married this woman, didn't have a son, he died, his brother married her, same went on for seven brothers. It sort of gives a new twist to the whole show, seven brides for seven brothers, or one bride for seven brothers instead. But that wouldn't make a good musical. So, one bride for seven brothers, and they ask him, "Now, whose wife will she be in the resurrection?" They thought they could get Jesus to say something that offended those that believed in the resurrection. And Jesus told them, "You don't understand Scripture or the power of God. In the resurrection, they will be like the angels." Now, it doesn't say they will become angels. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say you die and you go to heaven, and like it's a wonderful life, you have to earn your wings. And every time you go, you become an angel. No, that's not true. Angels are a different type of created being of God. We don't become angels. There are angels that are ministering spirits that serve those who inherit salvation. Tells us in Hebrews 1:14. And in the resurrection, we'll be like angels. There won't be marriage. Angels don't need to get married. We are brothers and sisters in heaven. And Jesus says, now about the resurrection. How many of you read? Now, the Sadducees only believe in the authority of the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those were the books of Moses. And Jesus quotes from Exodus, where Moses is at the burning bush, and Moses says, who are you? And God speaks to the bush, saying, I am the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham. And then Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He didn't tell Moses, I was the God of Abraham. I was the God of Isaac. I was the God of Jacob. No, he says, I am. Now this, at the moment that Moses was speaking to God in the burning bush, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. So the Sadducees go away. The crowd went, wow. The Pharisees are probably going, oh. Why haven't we been using that argument against the Sadducees when we are having our debate about the resurrection? And now the Pharisees themselves come. And one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, says, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets depend on these two commands. And in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us, and the teacher of law said, that's right. And Jesus says, you're not far away from the kingdom. Mark reveals that that Pharisee that asked the question was on the right road to salvation. Then Jesus presents a question to all those religious leaders that are hanging around. He says, whose son is the Messiah? Is it the son of David? And then Jesus quotes from Psalm 10, verse 1. Then why does David say, the Lord declared to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. And the word for Lord there is a word that's only used of God. It's the Hebrew word Adonai. So Jesus is asking all religious leaders, if the Messiah is the son of David, how can David say that he's God? But the religious leaders were not asking that. Matter of fact, no one dared to ask him another question. And that leads us into today's passage. Now, I gave you a lot of background because the first word in verse 1, chapter 23 is then. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and the disciples. Then, after he had silenced all the religious leaders that weren't looking for the truth, then he could speak clearly. He wasn't going to be interrupted. He wasn't going to be contradicted. There would be people that didn't believe what he said, and he wasn't going to be interrupted. And he begins talking, and the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, are still around the crowd. And Jesus is addressing the crowd, and he says, the scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Now, we use this term today to ecologists. The professors have certain positions, like the chair of American history, or the Walter Cronkite chair of broadcast journalism, or the chair of biology. And the person that sits in that position is the authority in that area at that university. And the Greek word is cathedra, from which we get the term cathedral. And even when some religious leaders are said to speak the word of God, they're said to speak ex cathedra, from the chair. When the Pope issues a decree, he speaks ex cathedra. And the cathedrals are the chairs where the spokesman for God is supposed to be. Well, Jesus is not using that term, but he's talking about Moses was a spokesman for God, presenting his truth. And the scribes and Pharisees are sitting in the chair presenting what Scripture has said. So listen to when they teach you Scripture, but don't do what they do. Listen to what they say. There are a lot of people that will say, here's the Word of God, and then they ignore it. Well, listen to the Word of God. Now, even in a church that doesn't read the Bible, if they're reading the Bible, God's Word does not return empty. Listen to the truth of Scripture, but don't act like a hypocrite that ignores what it says. He says, now let's look at these people. Don't do like they do. He says they tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. Don't be like them, having no sympathy for those around them. We are all sinners saved by grace. No one is in any special position before God. We are all saved by the same way, by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. And he says, also, they do everything to be seen by others. So don't follow their example just to be seen by people. It says, they enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Let me explain what a phylactery is. A phylactery is a small leather box. And an Orthodox Jew, if you ever see them at prayer time, they have a little headband that has a small box here. And on their left hand, there's a small little leather box there, and then a strap wrapped around their left arm. Inside these boxes are parchments for different scripture. The one on the head has four parts, and inside one part is Exodus 13, 1 through 10. Inside the other part is Exodus 13, 11 through 16. In the other part, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And the other part, Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21. Now these come from, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is the first part, see where they get this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8. Let's start at verse 6. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. So what does this mean? It means let the Word of God control your thoughts. Let the Word of God control your actions. But they took this literally, and so they made a box. Now, if you remember the days of little matchboxes, or maybe a matchbox car, we still have those around. Have a little box the size of a matchbox car in your head. Well, the religious leaders made sure they had a Tonka truck box size on their forehead, so you could really see that. Not the matchbox thing. Can you, one of my grandsons loves trucks. It's one of his favorite words. I think probably been the first word he said, truck. And so he'll hold it and he'll talk to truck. And then he's got one huge ones. But they make their phylacteries real big so you don't miss them. Whoa, look how religious he is. He has the encyclopedia Britannica on his head, not just the little pieces of paper. And their phylacteries, they make large, and their tassels. Turn to Numbers chapter 15. On the prayer shawl of an Orthodox Jew, you might have seen it, or pictures of it, there are little tassels on the corners. So Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38. Speak to the Israelites and tell them that throughout their generations they are to make tassels for the corners of their garments and put a blue cord on the tassel at each corner. These will serve as tassels for you to look at so that you may remember all the Lord's commands and obey them and not prostitute yourselves by following your own heart and your own eyes. This way you will remember and obey all my commands and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So on the prayer shawl, there on each corner is a tassel with a blue cord in it. This is to remind the people, as you're praying, don't just pray what you want. Remember to obey everything God says. And remember, we're told to pray in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean just add Jesus' name to our desires. That means to pray the same way that would be pleasing to God. So Jesus is pointing out that in our passage in Matthew 23. Don't do things just for show. If you're putting on a black tree just for people to see, don't do that. He doesn't say it's wrong to put one on. Just don't do it for show. Don't do things so people will look at you. There's been a lot of celebrities that have worn huge crosses, but their lifestyle doesn't match up with what that cross represents. Don't do things just to show. And then verse 6, they love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and be called rabbi by people. They like people pointing, hey, there's so-and-so, he's the important person. And then Jesus explains why in verse 8, you are not to be called rabbi because you have one teacher and you are all brothers and sisters. Do not call anyone on earth your father because you have one father who is in heaven. You are not to be called instructor either because you have one instructor, Messiah. But we have a lot of religious groups that have said you have to call this religious person by a certain name. you have to call this person elder so-and-so, you have to call that person pastor so-and-so. You can't just call them by their name. You got to call that person father so-and-so, that person rabbi so-and-so. Jesus says, don't see the title. Don't tell people they have to call you by that title. Don't follow the example of religious leaders at the time of Jesus, but some will have to don't seek that title. And then Jesus explains, we have one Father in heaven. Don't put some man in place of God in heaven. And you have one instructor, the Messiah. And Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that gives the words through us. Whoever, verse 12, exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Those religious leaders who are building themselves up are about to face the woes of God. Our following passages in the rest of the chapter, Jesus says, woe to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe, I mean, it reminds me of the old Lost in Space. Remember the robot? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Well, that's what about woe means. Danger, religious leaders, if you're doing these things. And that's a warning to us too. There's danger when you seek to do things just to be seen by people and don't let it affect your heart. Jesus has silenced the religious leaders, and now in what is his final, we'll say, sermon, his final public address to a large crowd, he's warning and is explaining how we should act, what we should avoid. Remember, we're called to humble ourselves. Think of others more highly than yourself. We live in a society that is more and more build yourself up. The catchphrase used to be, you need more self-esteem. No, we don't need more self-esteem. We need to start esteeming ourselves less. We need more Christ-esteem in our lives. Humble yourself, and you'll be exalted. How exalting it will be when you pass your best door, stand before God, when you hear from him, welcome, good and faithful servant. Enter into the blessing prepared with you. Doesn't matter if people know our name. That's why I like that casting crown song, Nobody. Doesn't matter if anybody knows our name. Except God. We want our name on this list. There are millions of Christians who will choose their faith. And you're not going to know their name. We're going to try to build ourselves up. God will humble us. He's about to put a humbling on the Pharisees and scribes in their presence as he speaks to the crowd. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, Sadducees. Woe to you, who took the law. They were written in earshot. But they couldn't question Jesus personally. What are we going to do with him? Whose example are we going to follow? Stand in front of us. Lord, I thank you for this time to be here. I thank you for time to worship you. I pray that all that we do will not be for show, but will be faced Tennessee's pleasure.